listening to the Big Blue Podcast. I'm Greg Stone, Associate VP for Academic Campus Operations, here with my co-host, our president and CEO, Dr. Lee Goodson. Good morning, Dr. Goodson.
Good morning, Dr. Stone. How are you today?
I'm doing really well, and I'm excited to talk to our guest today. We're here with Neil Ennis, Associate Professor of Biology at the Southeast Campus, and among many things we could talk with Neil about, one of them is a recent grant that he received from the National Institutes of Health. So, Neil, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on the recent grant.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for having me here this morning, Dr. Stone, Dr. Goodson. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for your support in helping to make grants and funding opportunities like this possible. So glad to be
here. We certainly are seeing more and more of them, right? Tell us a little bit about this project and how much you were awarded.
As you all are completely aware, the Medical and Biotechnology Learning Center on Southeast Campus was constructed back in 2005 at a cost of around $8 million using Vision 2025 funds. And that facility was outfitted with this incredible array of state-of-the-art biomedical research equipment that truly many universities would be envious of. I mean, the suite's really a gem from a molecular biology research perspective. And for years, that biotechnology program offered this really unique and amazing opportunity to students in the area who utilize that facility to learn biotechnology by conducting and presenting research. I mean, that program was super focused on getting students involved in undergraduate research. And I know we're all familiar with the really high caliber of graduates that that program produced. I mean, it really exemplified the value of undergraduate research as a high impact learning practice. Unfortunately, despite the quality of education we were providing and some truly heroic recruitment efforts over the years, enrollment just sort of struggled in that program often, and eventually the program ultimately couldn't be sustained. So in fall 21, Life Sciences voted to suspend that program, and then we offered the final course offerings in biotech in spring 23. But we faculty in the Life Science Department felt that that facility represented a huge investment on the part of the Tulsa community, and it's such an incredible asset that it needed to be continue to be utilized in a manner that would maximize its availability and impact on our students. So microbiology is kind of this capstone course for a lot of our life science degree programs, and it has a really high attendance or enrollment, I should say, rather. And it turns out microbiology and biotechnology are really closely related fields, and they emphasize a lot of the same lab techniques. So it made sense to envision kind of repurposing that biotechnology suite into a really considerably more well-equipped space to teach microbiology than what we currently have at Southeast. And by keeping the lab and its equipment intact and together and functional, it can also continue to be utilized as a space to host like professional development opportunities for area bioscience educators and also serve as a hub for life science related undergrad research here at Southeast. So the main challenge with doing that, though, is that the suite is currently set up such that there are two instructional areas that serve as combination lecture and lab spaces. And each of those spaces has seating for only 12 students. Well, our microbiology sections are pretty big and they need seating for 24. So to solve that, we're essentially going to consolidate all the lab benches from both of those instructional areas into one single area, which will create a single lab space with enough seats for 24. And then the area that the benches are being removed from are going to become a lecture space that will seat 24 as well. So there are a lot of other improvements that are going to be made as part of that renovation too. Like, for example, in microbiology labs, we tend to have this common biosafety concern, and that's students are taking notes on paper and then they're needing to take those papers home with them at the end of lab so that they can study and things of that nature. There's always a risk there potentially that a student could inadvertently transfer an organism out of the lab and take it back home or introduce it into the community. And so we're going to eliminate that concern by equipping all of these lab stations with dedicated tablets that students can use to complete their assignments, and they can take their notes electronically and then upload them and view them later. So there won't be any paper moving in and out of the lab. So huge improvement there. That lab space is going to get equipped with quite a number of flat panel TV monitors. So it doesn't matter what bench the student is seated at or how that bench is oriented, they're going to have a great view of information that's being displayed. And they're also going to be able to see all of the imagery that's being displayed from a microscope that's mounted at the instructor's station and will be integrated into that system. We'll remodel a section of existing cabinetry to create a new storage space for our microscopes. And then if we move over to that lecture area, the shape of that room is a little bit odd, and it could be difficult for students in all seating positions to see the instructor station. So to solve that problem, we're going to replace the whiteboards in that room with two large Promethean active panels that are, they're kind of like super fancy smart boards, but they'll act as both display monitors as well as electronic whiteboards. And the really cool thing is that they can mirror each other. So it won't matter where students are seated in the room, they're going to have a great view of the instructional materials that are being presented.
That is incredibly interesting, and what a benefit for students, and just really grateful to you for going after such a grant and thinking about how to repurpose that space when we didn't really have the demand we thought we would have for such a program. And really, it still feeds the same purpose in the community, right? We still have Absolutely. Students learning how to use a facility like that, which creates their employability in that field and in such a lab setting. That is fabulous. The reason we've been awarded this grant, not only because of your great leadership in the process, but also our participation in, OK Enbre?
Absolutely, yep.
Did I say it right?
That's what we call it.
OK Enbre, the Oklahoma Idea Network of Biomedical Research Excellence. So the acronym is easier to say, in fact.
Indeed.
And that is NIH funded, which it's not super common that a community college has NIH funding. Is that true, or do lots of community colleges enjoy NIH funding?
I think it's less common than we would like for it to be.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right. Well, I love that answer. How has the participation benefited the TCC students and faculty over the years? You've talked about that some, but is there anything you want to add to that?
Well, TCC has been a partner in the OK Enbre program since 2007. And as of now, Enbre has provided like over $1.9 million in funding to TCC and also other organizations that are in association with TCC here in the Tulsa community. And so that funding is paid for things like supplies and equipment that supports instruction and TCC courses that are related to biomedical research. It allows us to host professional development opportunities for faculty and high school life science teachers. And those workshops often include free equipment that we can give away to the participants, and so they can bring that back to their classrooms and use it to increase research experiences for their students. It's paid for travel for TCC students and faculty to national conferences like NCUR, the National Conference on Undergraduate Research. Back when the biotechnology program was operating, it paid for an annual biotechnology extravaganza. And they supply funds for the OACC, the Tulsa Regional STEM Alliance. They host a summer academy for secondary school teachers, and the list just goes on and on. But you know, we've benefited tremendously from that relationship.
Neil, I was wondering too, you know, you've talked about all these great opportunities that we've had since we joined Enbre. Can you maybe just share a little bit about why providing those undergrad research opportunities for students is so important in your teaching? What's the benefit that you see? I mean, it's a rhetorical question because I think we all know the answer, right? But I'm just curious, what are some of the specific benefits you've seen with your students since you've been so active in providing them these kinds of research opportunities?
Well, you know, I think my interest, Greg, in undergraduate research started through my own personal experience. When I was an undergraduate at Oklahoma State, I had the opportunity to do undergraduate research as really my employment all the way through school. And I was really strongly impressed with how that experience complemented what I was doing in the classroom and in the lab. And I really felt like the undergraduate research experience that I had was equally as important as the instruction that I received in my classes. And it just made my education, that experience, that much more complete. And I've always had a desire to pass on that opportunity to the students I teach as much as possible. I just feel like the best way to learn science at the end of the day is by doing science. So it's obviously a well-recognized high impact teaching practice. And when you involve students in undergraduate research in the classroom, you can see that they become a lot more engaged with the subject because they end up developing a personal connection to the subject. They care about their research project, they want it to succeed. And the really cool thing is you get to see students that have never, pictured themselves maybe as being scientists. That's maybe not something that they ever thought they could do. You can see that they suddenly become aware that maybe this is within the realm of possibility. And, and when that light bulb goes off and they start to gain an interest in the subject matter and really start working in the class and learning the material, this just makes all the difference in the world. Now, I can't say that means all of the students in the class are suddenly going to earn A's, but again, the enthusiasm level and the interest in what they're learning and the engagement in the class makes it all worthwhile. And they gain a better understanding of what science is and what scientists do, which I think we can all agree is pretty important in an age when, the public seems to kind of be less trusting of science, despite all of our science-driven accomplishments and advances that we benefit from. So.
Just such an advantage all the way around, and just that hands-on experience. I mean, just like you said, the best way to learn science is to do science. And we see that so much in our engaged learning opportunities throughout the college. So that is a great point to make to a lot of people, right? I mean, to students and faculty who are working to put more engagement in their classroom and everyone else. But what I'm noticing is more TCC faculty and staff are applying for grants. We announced a huge grant yesterday, the $3.7 million from the Department of Ed, and this is a significant opportunity for us as an institution, through the renovation and the participation with NIH. But tell us, how would you advise someone who may be th thinking about submitting a grant for the very first time? What would you say? Because it sounds a little scary, right? You hear about how competitive that world always is, and you think, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to get into that space. I'm not ready to put myself out there. What would you have to say?
Well, I would say that first of all, we have a tremendous support network here at TCC if you're interested in authoring a grant. Really, in speaking, particularly from a faculty perspective, I would encourage someone to start by having a conversation with their department chair and dean, of course. There's a world of support you can get and advice you can get and experience you can, learn from there. You also need to recognize that eventually, of course, you'll need to have a conversation with and get approval from the Office of Sponsored Programs. And that's directed by Barbara Waxman. They have just an enormous amount of experience and expertise, and they are more than willing to share that and help you with the writing of the grant. And so really, if you have the concept in your head, and if you can, and if you can present that concept to the folks there in the grants office, they can help you get that down on paper in a manner that will maximize its chances for success in terms of getting funded. So involving them early on in the process is really, really super important.
And go ahead and put yourself out there. It's the worst they can
Absolutely.
say is no. And I know from talking with other awardees that practice does help you get better at that process for sure. Professor Neil Ennis, thank you so much. We are really excited to hear from you and appreciate all the work you do in biology and for your students and thinking forward. Glad to have had the opportunity to visit with you. This is the Big Blue Podcast. Thank you for listening.